In 1937, the highest unclimbed peak in North America was Mount Lucania, rising 17,150 feet out of Canada's Yukon wilderness. Its summit was defended by monstrous glaciers, roiling ice-cold rivers, and sheer remoteness. American mountaineer Walter Wood called Lucania impregnable after failing to conquer it in 1935. But in the summer of 1937, two young American climbers, Brad Washburn and Bob Bates, decided to give it a try. Author David Roberts captured the story of the Washburn-Bates climb and harrowing deliverance from the mountain in the book Escape from Lucania. This week we talked to Mr. Roberts and Brad Washburn, who is now more than 90 years old. The adventure started with a streak of unseasonably warm weather that left the foot of Mount Lucania a mass of slush. Slush that nearly swallowed the ski plane that had flown Mr. Washburn and Mr. Bates in from Valdez, Alaska, to start their climb.
Couldn't move an inch in the slush. He got stuck in a crevasse, and we dug him out, and then he got stuck in another one. Finally, we just left the airplane alone. And he said, I've got to get the hell out of here. So he finally gave his airplane the gun, headed down the glacier, and there was a little bulge there, and he completely disappeared from sight. And Bob and I didn't see him, but we could hear this roar in the distance. Finally, this little mosquito appeared in the air, heading back to Valdez, 250 miles away, and we felt like a long way off ourselves because we were going to fly back to Valdez at the end of the climb, and now we had to get ourselves out without our two people, Russell Dow and Norman Bright, who never got brought in at all.
It took the pilot 5 days to get off the glacier with a completely stripped-down airplane, and after that there was no hope of his returning to pick up Bob and Brad.
That left Washburn and Bates 100 snow-packed and uncharted miles from the nearest human settlement, with Mount Lucania on their left and another peak, Mount Steele, on their right. They had a momentous decision to make.
We could have walked out two ways, 200 miles back into Alaska, or if we remembered that Walter Wood, who said Lucania was impossible to climb, had said so from the top of Mount Steele, which is about 16,600 feet high. And we figured if we climbed Lucania, which was 17,000, we could get over the top of Mount Steele, and we would be going back in the wrong direction, into Canada.
Away from Alaska.
But we knew that anything Walter Wood could get up, we could get down. And as you shortly see, our problems were not on the mountain at all.
But before escaping down Walter Wood's route into Canada, Mr. Washburn and Mr. Bates had to cross the 14,000-foot ridge between Mount Lucania and Mount Steele. And in 1937, they did it in the ice and snow without the aid of Gore-Tex or Thinsulate.
We had snowshoes, and we had a little, if you can believe it, a little tiny L.L. Bean sled that we hauled along with us that we could haul supplies on.
Everything we take for granted now, Bob and Brad didn't have. They didn't have down jackets. They didn't have nylon ropes. They didn't have modern ice axes.
And I had worn my L.L. Bean shoe packs, you know, the rubber bottom, leather top kind of thing, to fly in. And we figured that when the other two boys came in, they'd bring us our winter boots, and we climbed the mountains in our rubber boots.
They did pioneer a new style, which I call fast and light. Brad and Bob were the American pioneers in this, applying this technique to big mountains. And once they got up high on Lucania, they really stripped down their gear. They had a big pile of supplies at base camp, but once they committed to going over Lucanian Steele, they stripped down radically. They cut the floor out of their tent. They threw away one sleeping bag and slept head to toe, the two of them in a single bag. And they threw out a lot of food because they thought they could get out and find a cache that Walter Wood had left.
The two climbers reached the top of the ridge between the two mountains late in the day. They decided if the morning brought good weather, they would make an assault on Lucania's summit. The next day broke cloudless and calm, and the two plowed their way through the snow up to the summit.
We were out for a hell of a long time. We started at 8 in the morning. It was 4 in the afternoon we got to the top, I think.
Right.
The view was breathtaking. We saw all of our old friends, Mount St. Elias. We could see all the way down the coast to Mount Fairweather.
They were so sanguine that Brad took what I argue is the finest summit photo yet taken in the far north. And it's the back photo on the jacket of the book. And it's just a stunning portrait of both exhaustion and jubilation.
Yeah, the two of them in stark black and white, brilliant day, and just grinning from ear to ear.
There wasn't a breath of wind. I mean, normally on a big mountain like that, you're lucky if you can get there with any kind of a good day. And when we got to the top, the view was absolutely magnificent. 19,000-foot Mount Logan in one direction, all the way down the coast to St. Elias. It was thrilling.
The climbers then headed back across the ridge, climbed the summit of Mount Steele, and threaded their way down the mountain. Their goal, the nearest settlement, Burwash Landing, across the valley below on Lake Kluane.
The biggest problem we had on that trip was not climbing Mount Lucania. It's when we reached the Donjek River, roughly 30 miles east of Mount Steele. It had a big system of gravel bars, and we figured it would be spread out over this wilderness of gravel bars, which was half a mile wide. But that river was roaring, and it was 50, 60 feet wide and very deep. But we were so near the forest on the other side that we could see little birds jumping around in there, flitting around in the woods, and we couldn't get past it because of this roaring torrent of river. Mm-hmm. So we figured that if we went upstream, that all of this water was coming out of the Donjak Glacier. And this is a cinch, because all we do is go up the valley 15 miles or so, cross the glacier, and we'd be on the other side of the river. But no, when we got to the glacier, we discovered that there was another glacier way up the valley that all that water was coming out of, and it was roaring, absolutely impassable river.
And, of course, none of this could have been known because that whole terrain was a blank on the map in 1937. Nobody knew where the source of the river was.
Finally, suffering from hunger and exhaustion, Mr. Washburn and Mr. Bates stumble on a spot where the Donjek River divides into dozens of smaller channels. They tie themselves together and plunge up to their chests through the icy, numbing waters until they reach the final channel. It's also the widest and deepest.
The last channel was right over by the hillside, and we had used our heads. We each had a waterproof duffel bag, just the kind of bag you buy at any sporting goods store. We tied the bag up, each one of us, his bag up very, very tight, and we started into this river deeper and deeper, and we held these duffel bags like a life preserver. Finally, our feet didn't touch the bottom, and we dragged ourselves out onto the other side, half frozen in ice water, and we said, we've crossed the Donjek.
You were so close to hypothermia at that point. You mentioned you almost couldn't undo the fastenings of the duffel bags, and you crawled into the sleeping bag and shivered for hours before you got warm again.
And I remember we lay absolutely naked there, and thank goodness that was a nice sunny day. So we knew that hunting parties were coming from Kluane Lake over into this valley all the time. And we had a revolver, a Colt revolver, but the sight on it was busted, so you had to shoot above and to the right of it, and you never hit anything. I was a little bit ahead of Bob, and between Bob and me was a huge, big rabbit. Bob was scared stiff of shooting the rabbit because if he missed the rabbit, he might hit me. And I had to get off to one side, and he finally shot this rabbit. We skinned that rabbit, and we ate everything, but its claws, I'll tell you. That was a wonderful meal. Then the next day, after we'd had our rabbit feast, we headed out over a very gently rising meadow. And I said, Bob, did you hear that noise? It was sort of a funny noise. I began to wonder if I was hearing the bells of heaven or something. And then all of a sudden, 100 yards away, we saw a horse's nose, and then a man, and then another man and another horse about 100 yards from us. And these guys met us, and they said, where in hell have you come from? We said, we've come from Valdez, Alaska. Most of them didn't even know where that was. And they said, where were you going? We said, we're going any place you're going.
The Wranglers were headed to Burwash Landing. Mr. Washburn and Mr. Bates hitched a ride. 32 days and 156 miles after being deposited at the foot of Mount Lucania, the two young climbers completed what is considered by many the most remarkable mountaineering adventure ever in the far north. ¶¶